This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Vice President Kamala Harris trying to shore up the so-called blue wall campaigns today in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. ABC's Karen Travers says those are three states key to a Democratic victory.
She'll be joined by former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney for a series of conversations, part of an effort to reach out to independents and Republicans and peel them away from former President Donald Trump. Cheney campaigned with Harris earlier this month in Wisconsin, telling the crowd that this year will mark the first time she's cast her vote for a Democrat in a presidential election.
Meanwhile, former President Trump campaigns in North Carolina. 10 states have abortion measures on the ballot next month. The Biden administration proposing a rule today expanding insurance coverage for over-the-counter contraceptives. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's in Ukraine for the third time since the war began, and an autopsy on One Direction singer Liam Payne found he had ingested numerous drugs before falling to his death last week. This is it.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin today. She'll make an appearance with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney in Waukesha County. That's where Republican running mate J.D. Vance campaigned last night. In-person early voting starts in Wisconsin tomorrow.
We want people to vote in every single way that they can. We want every vote to count. We want get out there and vote. Vote by mail, vote absentee, vote early, vote on Election Day.
Democratic running mate Tim Walz and former President Barack Obama will be in Wisconsin tomorrow. Senator Tammy Baldwin and challenger Eric Hovde accused each other of dishonesty several times in their debate Friday night. Baldwin said more than a dozen independent fact-checkers found Hovde's made false campaign claims. Hovde accused all of Baldwin's campaign ads to be false, but offered no evidence. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Western Wisconsin will see a number of politicians campaigning ahead of the fall election, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Today, Senator Tammy Baldwin will be in Prairie du Chien and also visit UW La Crosse. Another senator, Elizabeth Warren, will be in La Crosse to promote early voting and to campaign for Democrats on the ballot. Elsewhere, Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris will be in Waukesha today, and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, will be in Madison with former President Barack Obama tomorrow. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has denied a motion to review the 2017 homicide conviction of Todd Kenhammer, who was found guilty of killing his wife in 2016. The West Salem man was sentenced to life in prison with release to extended supervision after 30 years in 2018 after a nearly two-week jury trial. A state court of appeals also denied a review of the verdict earlier this year. Kenhammer had sought a retrial based on ineffective counsel, but a three-judge panel rejected all of his arguments for an appeal. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Texans 24-22 thanks to a walk-off field goal. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs had a big day, rushing for 76 yards. He also got his first ever touchdown catch despite 212 career receptions.
You know, it was long overdue. You know, we talked about it all week at practice. It was like, man, this is the week that we're going to get you. We had like three or four plays in the red zone for me. So, man, you know, I appreciate my coaches and, you know, the teammates wanted me to get that, calling it for that situation, man. And it was fun, man. First Lambo Elite, well, official Lambo Elite. You know, it was a good one.
The Badgers beat Northwestern in Evanston 23-3. Wisconsin strength and conditioning coach Brady Collins challenged the players, saying he'd jump in Lake Michigan if they got the win.
He was going to go in the lake, whether they were going to throw him in the lake or he was going to jump in the lake. And about 3.5 minutes ago in the game, I looked back to one of the guys and said, make sure we find a path to get him to that lake. So it was a great celebration.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be another warm one today. Mostly sunny, up to 82 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a bit cooler in the mid-70s. By Wednesday, it'll be a whole lot cooler with sunshine and a high in the 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, our guest from Western Wisconsin Health tells us about the many changes in healthcare, especially rural healthcare, that require political leadership.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855 Calvin. What is the number? I forgot.
855-752-4842.
You didn't sound so sure yourself.
I didn't. I will verify that.
855 what now?
752-4842.
Okay, 4842. Welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a couple days off, and now we're in a new place.
Oh, that's right. You did have a couple days off. And for those of you who may not know, this morning is the kickoff of the new WRJN WAUK edition of WRJN here in Racine. We have transitioned from Waukesha. We're now located in Racine, and it is a spectacular studio, Calvin, spectacular radio station.
Yeah, no, it's state of the art.
And so, you know, I want to kick off today's opening, if you will, of WAUK here in Racine, Wisconsin, with what I think is a spectacular 2 hours of the Earl Ingram Show. And I want to begin by introducing just my brother, you know, a really good friend. We go back a little while, and, you know, he's a man after my own heart who's committed to our community. And everywhere there's an event in our community, he's there. None other than, can we still call you a major?
Retired major.
Oh, retired major. Mm-hmm. Doctor, how come I forget his name, man? Dr. Darryl Williams. Good morning to you, man. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Earl. It's really an honor and pleasure to be here, especially talking about some of the issues that we're going to be talking about today.
Well, so I want, you know, I don't want to miss, you know, who you are and the things you've done. I want people to get to know you. So let's talk a little bit about Dr. Darryl Williams.
Well, really just a country boy from Mississippi, but I've spent quite a few years here in education. This is my 31st year in education. I used to be turnaround principal for Milwaukee Public Schools in several schools, was interim superintendent of schools in Beloit, emergency manager during the time of COVID for the state of Wisconsin, and currently I'm an assistant state superintendent for libraries and technology, but I'm also a veteran. I served 29 years, two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, was humble enough to receive the Bronze Star and Purple Heart. And so that's what we're here to talk about today with this Veterans Day program. And I am honored to be here with Otis Winstead, who is the CEO of Dry Hooch, and to recognize veterans here within our city.
All right, so let's go to Otis Winstead. Good morning to you, sir. You are the president, CEO of Dry Hooch. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, good morning to everybody, and thank you for inviting me here. Yeah, I'm a Vietnam-era veteran myself. I'm from, well, Vietnam-era veteran from 74 to 77. I'm from a place called Trafford, Pennsylvania, which is right outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I've had a selective number of jobs over the years. But currently, I guess since 2013, I want to say, I've been with Great Lakes Dry Hooch, which is a nonprofit veterans organization headquartered in Milwaukee. And I've been the guest president CEO for the last, say, 3 or 4 years. And, you know, just to talk about Dry Hooch for a minute, Dry Hooch is a nonprofit veterans organization that specializes with men and women transitioning out of the military. That word transmission means a lot because we also work with veterans just transitioning into society, whether it be jobs, relationships. We do a lot of peer support. That's the basis of what we do. Our mission is to help the veterans who have survived the war also survive the peace. That's essentially what we do.
And so we're going to top all of that off with the introducing an author, Mr. Doug Melville, and he has written a wonderful book called Invisible Generals. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Great. How you doing today, everybody? I was just watching 60 Minutes online around Wisconsin, and I was learning so much about the state because they were featured this week, and it's great to see you all and hear you all, and I'm fresh off my Wisconsin FAQ.
Well, listen, I want this book, you know, and that you've written is just has a special place. You know, one of the things that I think we miss a lot in this nation is history. You know, the history has certainly been kind of altered over the last couple of years. People are doing away with history that they don't like or they didn't think benefits them and makes people feel bad. But this story of Brigadier General Benjamin O. Davis Sr. and his son, General Benjamin O. Davis Jr. Just the little snippets of it that I was able to take a look at is so riveting and so telling. Let's talk a little bit about these men and this book you've written.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for, you know, gracing me with this platform, because I think we assume that we know American history, all of us. You know, you go to school for it, you take it your whole life. But I was able to uncover this incredible story of these two men, a father and a son, and these two men raised my dad. So they were part of the family. They were the centerpiece of our family. They never spoke about what they did. They never shared anything about it. And you know how, you know, sometimes people, that's how they operate, particularly if they come back from the military, never knew what they did. They never had any military in the house. And in the year 2012, I went to go see the movie Red Tails. And it was George Lucas's final movie before he sold his company to Disney. And it was the story of the Tuskegee Airmen. And Ben Davis Jr., who had paid for my college, who had bought me my first car, who gave me my set of golf clubs so I could learn how to golf, who was, you know, we talked all the time. I spent summers at his home. Was the commander of the Tuskegee Airmen. And when he was brought on screen, played by Terrence Howard, his name was changed. And I was in the movie theater and I couldn't understand what was going on. And going back to your point, Earl, sometimes we watch movies and even if they're based on a real story, in this particular situation, his name was changed.
So before you go any further, who were the Tuskegee Airmen for those in the listening audience?
Yeah, so the Tuskegee Airmen were America's first black fighter pilots and during World War II. And during the time, you know, and I think when we talk about war and look back, we forget it was segregated. So during World War II, the United States military was 100% segregated. So at the time, FDR was looking to get reelected. And most blacks at that time in America, over 90% were voting Republican because of Abraham Lincoln's emancipation. And FDR was looking to win the black vote. So he brought on Ben Davis Sr., the father in the book, as an advisor on Negro policy in the United States. And he said, the one way that you can win the black vote in America is to prove America is equal in pay and opportunity in the United States military. And when he did that, he said, well, how do I do that? FDR said, and he goes, you need to start a black flying squadron to prove equality in the skies and in assignments in the military. And FDR said, well, who would lead that? And he said, my son. And that was when Benjamin Davis Jr. went down to Tuskegee, Alabama, and there was a flying program that was created for black Americans to have the opportunity to fly planes in World War II. And those men ultimately became the Tuskegee Airmen. And it was 15,000 men and women. And 1,000 of those individuals were pilots. And they were commanded by Benjamin O. Davis Jr. And at that time, if you had a white wrench on a plane, it couldn't be used on a black person's airplane. If someone trained a white pilot, they couldn't train a black pilot. So 100% of the Tuskegee Airmen operated in their own segregated air force. And that was really the significance of the story of the Tuskegee Airmen.
You know, you talked about the son, Benjamin O. Davis Jr., but certainly without the father, there wouldn't have been a son. And the story of the father is just riveting. Let's talk a little bit about the father.
So Ben Davis Sr. Was the first black general in American history and across any branch of the military. And his father, so Ben Davis Sr.'s father, was the babysitter for Ulysses S. Grant in the White House.
Wow.
And this is really the whole thing around proximity and opportunity. If it wasn't for his father being close to General Logan, who was one of the best family friends.
So I got to get you to hold that thought. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined in studio by Dr. Darrell Williams, by Otis Winstead, and on the line I'm joined by Doug Melville as we're going to have a resounding conversation about the United States military from the perspective of people of color. 855-752-4842 on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Liberal politician Kamala Harris wants to take your guns. She says it herself.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
Mandatory buybacks? That's Washington speak for taking away your guns. More from Kamala.
Just because you legally possess a gun in your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible.
Take Kamala at her word. Democrats will ban guns and take them from your home. And here in Wisconsin, congressional candidate Rebecca Cook is following in Kamala's footsteps. Rebecca Cook called for a ban on the most commonly owned rifle in the U.S. She even earned an F from the NRA. As a political operative, Cook spent the last decade working for Defund the Police Democrats. She'd defund police and take your guns. It's radical and it's dangerous. Liberal Rebecca Cook. She won't protect you. She won't let you protect your family.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
The green and gold, tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I am joined in studio by Mr. Otis Winstead. He is the president and CEO of Dry Hooch, Dr. Darrell Williams. And on the line, I am joined by Mr. Doug Melville. He is the author of Invisible Generals. So Doug, before we went to a short break, you were talking about the father, Brigadier General Benjamin O. Davis Sr. You were finished. Can you finish that, please?
Yeah. So I was just sharing that the powerful part about this story is it's a father-son story about America's first two black generals. And there wouldn't be a son and a Tuskegee Airman if there wasn't for Ben Davis Sr., who was his father. So he ended up joining the military in the volunteer army and just signed up right off the street. And unless someone can prove it wrong, because I haven't found a consenting voice, but he's the only person to ever walk into the registration center off the street and become a general.
So we got to be talking, what, this is the late 1930s, early 1940s?
1800s.
Oh, you're talking about the grandfather.
Yeah. 1890s, Ben Davis Sr. entered the military, and he became a general on October 25th, this week, 1940. So this is the anniversary. October 25th, 1940, he became America's first black general, and he worked his way up all the way from the volunteer army, all the way through, being a second lieutenant, becoming an officer status, and then going up the line. and he operated in a fully segregated military. And what was tricky about his career was that it was by policy not required for white soldiers to salute black soldiers, even if they were their ranking officer. And it was also against policy that blacks could command or oversee any white soldiers. So the fact that he was climbing up the ladder actually started putting the army in a very precarious situation, because the purpose of not allowing blacks at scale into West Point was to prevent them from becoming officers, because there was nowhere for them to manage. So the fact that Ben Sr. rose through the ranks, he was actually promoted by President William McKinley very short before he got, he died in office, but McKinley personally promoted Ben Davis Sr. to officer. And it was a family favor because of his relationship through his father with Ulysses S. Grant and General Logan. So if it wasn't for McKinley writing that letter, Ben wouldn't have become an officer. And then once he became an officer, he trained his son from the time he was born to become a general. You know, we think now about like Shador Sanders or Venus and Serena, but he trained his son from the time he was born to be a general in the United States military. Wake up, the exercises, the discipline, and that was how Ben Davis Jr. Was able to rise to the ranks and command the Tuskegee Airmen.
So as if that isn't enough, there's another aspect to the story, and that's the four-star designation, the highest rank of anybody in the military is a four-star general. He was in line for that rank. What happened?
Yeah, he was in line for the rank. So cutting all the way to the end, Ben Jr. did everything he was set out to do and more. And he was scheduled to be America's first black four-star general, full general. And the night before, and there's actually a newspaper clipping that says, will, you know, LBJ promote Ben Davis to become America's first black four-star general? And the night before, LBJ pulled him in the Oval Office and said, I've done enough for black Americans. I put Thurgood Marshall on the Supreme Court. I passed Martin Luther King's agenda. So unfortunately, I get no more political capital if I promote you to four-star, and forced him to retire. And Ben then retired, but aviation was still segregated. He couldn't get a job. And he ends up working for the Department of Transportation, where he creates the 55 mile an hour speed limit, the United States Air Marshal Program. He invents the doors on commercial airlines that lock when you're about to take off, and the TSA and the Flying Thunderbirds, and allowed women into the United States Air Force Academy. So he was trying to keep himself busy because the military didn't really have anywhere for him to go. And then in 1998, Earl, we get a call from President Clinton, and they want to retroactively give him the fourth star that he earned.
So I got to get you to hold that thought. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Got a great show lined up for you this morning. We'll come back and cover all of those different areas on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
Eagle 1490 AM.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The EPA is moving forward with plans to establish new federal carbon pollution standards for power plants after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling last week. Ashley Radzinski is with the Great Lakes Business Network. She says she's glad the work on the new rules continues uninterrupted.
This is not a looming crisis in the future. This is something that is here already. We're having much more impactful storms that are causing power outages across our states.
Opponents argue the EPA is overstepping its authority. Jolly Good Soda is officially the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. The Cryer Foods Soft Drinks Made in Random Lake is the winner of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce's annual contest. Jolly Good's been around since 1966 and was rebooted in 2013 as a craft soda brand. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The La Crosse County Board allocated the remaining $23 million of unspent American Rescue Plan Act funding. The money needed to be spent by the end of 2026. Most of the money will be distributed as grants for infrastructure projects. The County Board also accepted grants for broadband access and a remodeling project for the Hillview Healthcare Center. Finally, the Board rewrote its ATV and UTV ordinance to match state statutes and listed the county highways that are now ATV-UTV routes. Tomorrow, the La Crosse City Aviation Board will go over statistics for the La Crosse Regional Airport, which saw turnover at the top with the person managing the airport and has dealt with changing service over the past couple of years. The Aviation Board will also consider a resolution to petition the Secretary of Transportation for funding airport improvements. Earlier this year, the airport received a federal grant for over $223,000 to renovate the aircraft rescue and firefighting building. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Apprentice, starring Sebastian Stan, has caused some controversy and generated the ire of Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Trump and his team tried to prevent the film from coming out altogether. Stan says that's hypocritical, as the candidate has been touting free speech. The Apprentice follows Trump in the early days of his business ventures. The film received good reviews and is currently in theaters. Remember when we used to order DVDs from Netflix through the mail, and there were times the company was struggling to survive? Those days are long gone. Netflix added 5 million users in the third quarter of this year alone. The company is projecting its earnings to be $43 billion in 2025. That's a growth of 11 to 13% according to Variety and about $5 million more than last year. The streaming platform now has 282 million users. This must mean lower prices for subscribers, right? Hello? Is this mic on? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be another warm one today. Mostly sunny, up to 82 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a bit cooler in the mid-70s. By Wednesday, it'll be a whole lot cooler with sunshine and a high in the 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Michael Sozan, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to discuss Trump's attacks on democracy. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Ooh.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I'm joined once again in studio by Otis Winstad. He is the president and CEO of Dry Hooch in Wisconsin, and also by Dr. Darryl Williams. And Doc, we, you know, you wear so many different hats, it'll take us the rest of the, you know, the airtime to talk about all your titles. But you, at the head of all of those things is, you're a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart winner, and for the great things that you've done in commitment in, the United States Army. And last but not least, we're joined by author, Doug Melvin. He is the author of Invisible Generals. And, sir, before we went to the last break, you were talking about the fourth star that that General Benjamin O. Davis Jr. Should have received. And you were saying what?
Yeah, yeah. So just to wrap that story and get to the gentleman in studio, because I'm happy that I'm excited I'm going to be coming to Wisconsin on behalf of these two gentlemen. But when he got his fourth star in 1998, we got it as a family under two conditions. And the first condition was he was going to receive the fourth star in retirement, so he wouldn't be in active duty, which was pretty obvious. But the second was that even though that we were going to get acknowledged by the president of the United States, that we should have gotten the star 32 years earlier, we were told we had to sign a piece of paper that we would not get any financial compensation for the 32 years going back where he would have gotten retirement pay as a four-star versus a three-star, or compensation for the time going forward. He ended up living 3 years after the ceremony, so that was a total of 35 years, and it would have been over $1 million for our family. And I think part of this was one of the reasons I was driven to write this book, because I don't think we really understand how our veterans are treated, what actually happens to them. You see these ceremonies where people get promoted, and they don't, their honorary promotions or retirement promotions, and they don't get compensated. You see movies, Hidden Figures and Devotion, families who are portrayed in those movies don't get paid because whoever writes the story owns the story because they're public servants, not those who live it. So all those reasons were the reasons that drove me to write this book. And, you know, share it with you all on behalf of Veterans Day. And I'm really, really excited to get an opportunity to come to Wisconsin, to Milwaukee, and really get a chance to share this story with the Dry Hooch community and the other communities around the state.
You know, it is really kind of unimaginable when we look at a military budget of $840 billion and they say $1 million. Hey, come on, $1 million is a drop in the bucket. The fact that they could not, you know, do the right thing is a part of what I think is a whole different story. So I'm looking forward to meeting you. Hopefully we can get you in the studio when you show up and spend even more time.
I'm coming on election day, so hopefully – you know, all eyes on you. So,
all right. Let's talk about this event, man.
We're just very excited. As I said earlier, I'm just really honored to be working with Otis Winstead, the CEO, president and CEO of Dry Hooch, on this, because this is really key. So we're recognizing 16 veterans on November the 7th at the War Memorial. It'll be about from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. It's going to be a packed house. And we just want to recognize our veterans and just say thank you for their service. And if people are interested in buying tickets to this event, it's only $25. This is not a fundraiser, but this is just to cover the cost. They can reach out at 414-614-9913. 414-614-9913. And just like Doug Melville has said here, and I'm gonna tell you, and we're just really honored to have him here, world-renowned author, and he's gonna be our keynote. But I really the story that you just heard about Benjamin O. Davis Sr. and Benjamin O. Davis Jr. We have people right here in Milwaukee who we will be honoring who are in similar circumstances. And I let Otis, if he would be so kind, talk to us about, you know, Vernon Townsend, who's right here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, so Mr. Townsend, him and his daughter actually came to my office, I guess about 8 weeks ago. And the reason for the visit was Mr. Townsend was looking to get his benefits. Now, remember, he's a World War II veteran, should have had his benefits. But he came to the office, and we started the process. And as he's leaving the office, something just told me. I asked him how old he is again. And I asked him, and at that time, he was 103 years old. And we walked out onto the sidewalk, and I was just in awe that a 103-year-old veteran who was cognizant of his skills and was talking to me and whatnot. We begin to take pictures with veterans coming up and down the street. However, during that conversation, I'd asked his daughter, Ms. Kemp, has he ever been recognized by the veteran community? And she stared at me and blankly said, no, Otis, he's never been recognized. So here's the journey. Here's the journey. We need to get this guy recognized. We began that journey. He's now he's 104 years old, and he'll be honored down at the War Memorial November 7th. And I'm going to turn this back over to the doctor, you know, because he's been really instrumental in this whole program.
You know, Doc, hey, look, 103, 104 years old, recognition is important, even though people say, I don't want to be recognized. But a man who, for his entire adult life, has not been recognized for his service, when we recognize people constantly for their services, an injustice.
Right, and this is significantly important because we have several veterans, not just Mr. Townsend, but his case is so unique, and who needs to be recognized for their service, because people then joined the military for the recognition. They did it because they wanted to be, you know, to protect this country and so forth. But here you have a guy who's 104 years old now, from Chula, Mississippi, trained as an auto mechanic. And now in World War II, he ended up saving more lives working with doctors who were and helping soldiers who were wounded and severely wounded, could have died in battle. And the thing that really bothered me about his story, and it's not so different than others that I've heard about, he only receive, you know, the medals that would normally be given for serving in combat. Now, we know that whenever we save people's lives in combat, that's usually a Bronze Star, Silver Star, possibly the Medal of Honor in some cases, depending on the case. And so, but for black soldiers, especially during World War II, and I hear the same from Vietnam and Korean veterans, you know, black people were not written up and given those awards as their white counterparts. And so, and a lot of times, you know, records have been destroyed over the years and so forth. So we want to make sure that our veterans are recognized as well.
You know, it is just an unbelievable kind of situation. You know, we honor and celebrate our veterans, but I know many veterans who have not been treated fairly and justly during the time that they came out of these different wars.
That's why it's so important also, Earl, that during this time, when I went down to the World Memorial, I began to think about Doug Melville. And I remember his story, and I'm thinking about the Invisible Generals. And that story is awesome, actually. You know, I've read it. I haven't read the book, but I know a lot about what he's talked to me about personally. And it all kind of fit together. The Invisible World War II soldier, the Invisible Journeys. I mean, the Invisible Generals. Those are two of the same, you know. Unfortunately, we have Doug to come and actually talk about that, right? And I think, you know, that exposure is important, you know, and it's never too late. Doug told me, I said, I wish this would have happened in current time. Doug said, oh, this is happening now. You know, it's coming to the forefront now. So it's important.
So let me ask any of you guys, Doug, you can weigh in as well. What are the political ramifications of this? Because, you know, constantly you can't separate the military from politics. You can't separate those two. And so what is their thoughts as this story and this information that eventually, I guess, can wind up being a movie or something? But what are their thoughts? Because we know that it's not just these individuals. There are probably countless tens of hundreds of thousands of men who have kind of felt under the same kind of situation.
I think the first thing is that recognition is actually a form. Some people look at it as a form of defiance. You know, looking back at these men, if they were recognized for the work that they did, then that would have defied the social norms of the time. So I think the recognition now is so important. And I think just the presence of the stories becomes a political statement. I think what I learned writing the book was how many the General Davis Sr. and Jr. only got promoted within 30 days of a presidential election every single time they were general. So they were really being used, if you really want to look at it from the outside, by the political party in power to retain power, to win re-election, to win the Senate, to win the House. And that was a big learning for me about before Ben Sr., 90% of all blacks in America voted Republican. And then by promoting Ben Sr., by bringing Thurgood Marshall to the bench, more black Americans started moving over to the Democratic Party. So it is all intertwined. I think Ben Jr. never actually voted. And I write about that in the book because he always thought that the vote would be used against him and someone would find out who he voted for. So even though he was a black American and he was a general, he actually chose not to vote, thinking that there would be some way that the vote would come around in 10 years and be used against him. So I think that was kind of his thinking at the time. But, you know, looking at this in a modern day story, I think it is intertwined with politics. But most people try to stay independent of it in the military because it is their commander in chief.
All right, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined in studio by Otis Winstad. Again, he is the president and CEO of Dry Hooch, Wisconsin. Dr. Darryl Williams, who wears 1,000 different hats, and the incredible author of The Invisible Generals, Doug Melville, 855-752-4842, a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What yes, happens what? When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers. But we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse is home for Matt Nair on Air.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Again, I'm joined by Dr. Darrell Williams, Otis Winstead, President, CEO of Dry Hooch, and the one and only Doug Melville, the editor, the author of The Invisible Generals. So you were saying, Doug, before we were interrupted.
Yeah, I was just really just talking about how many different areas there are injustices. And I think when it goes back to having an event on November 7th where we could see veterans of color, where we can hear from them, where we can gather with them, where we could build community with them, is so important because we look at this history as so long ago, but it's really so current. And if it wasn't for individuals like Otis and Daryl, you know, things like this would not come to life. So it's important that we invest in our community. We support these gentlemen. We recognize them while they're alive, give them their flowers, but also hear from them and talk to them and really understand that there is an entire generation of soldiers of color that are invisible. That's names have been deleted from history books. You know, when I went to all these museums, Earl, what I learned was many times only white men are tagged in photos in museums. And during COVID, a lot of museums scanned in their archives so they were available to be searched on their databases. But the names of the soldiers of color many times were omitted. I had to enter Ben Jr. and Sr.'s name in hundreds and hundreds of times. The Smithsonian, the Presidential Library. So these stories are out there. And when I come in on November 7th and I sit with Otis and Daryl and the whole community at the museum, we'll have an opportunity to really talk about this. So I encourage everybody to come through and encourage everyone to realize we are the storytellers of these individuals.
So let's do this quickly. Let's go to the phone lines. Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Good morning. You know, there are a whole lot of us that are invisible, and many of us, when we came back from Nam and wherever, people spit on us. They called us murderers. And basically, we did not want people to even know we were veterans because of the fact that we were being punished for the idiocy of our politicians. But we went and did our job. On May 5th, 1967, my first cousin got shot and killed in Pleiku. I brought his body back, and I volunteered and went back, not for the government and for the country. I went back for revenge. But the point is, you know, there's a whole lot of horror stories in what have you, and I appreciate these gentlemen there. And Otis, congratulations. I don't know if you remember me. I was vice president of the Center for Veterans Issues when Dry Hoots came, and we became your fiscal agent to get you guys going.
I remember.
Under General Cockcroft.
Right.
Hey, Al, I wish I had more time, but we're going to make sure that you guys all connect. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Susan, quickly, you say what?
I say thank you for a great show this morning. All this information has to come out, and all these great heroes need to be recognized, and it is about time that they are recognized. And I am going to be looking for your book, and I'm going to be adding it to my library because as you know, I read all this, and I try to instruct the kids that I interact with the history, the true history of the United States,
Hey, Susan, I wish I had more time, but thank you very much for the call. Dr. Williams.
Yeah, when you talked earlier about some of the politics and politics of this whole issue, the thing about it is this. People should be able to just do the right thing on behalf of our veterans. Veterans over there fighting these wars, whether it's past or current conflicts, not thinking about that, just trying to do what's right for the democracy of this country. This is one of the things that really impressed me about Dry Hooch and Otis and the work that they're doing, whether it's working with housing, mental health, getting folks their benefits, and working with them on legal issues. This stuff is key for what they're doing. But the last thing piece I want to mention, you're talking about the history. Milwaukee has a tremendous history. You got folks like Norm Nitschke, who was a part of the Band of Brothers here, Louis Adams and David Clark, who were part of the Triple Nickel. That's the first, last, and only all-black Ranger unit in the history of the United States military. And they were right here in Wisconsin, who never received their recognition and just do the way that they should.
Well, so look, gentlemen, because, you know, time constraints, we must leave it there. But I pledge to you, all of you, that we'll have you back as many times as it takes to get this wonderful, wonderful story out to the listening audience. History has to be told in order for it to be able to have the power that it has. But thank you, guys. I look forward to
Thank you.
Doug, we'll see you when you come into Milwaukee. We'll have you in the studio. Yes, sir. All right. Up next, I'm going to be joined by Jorge, and we're going to talk about a multitude of things on a Motown Monday. Jorge is the outgoing vice president of marketing at Civic Media, and we're going to talk about right-leaning Latino voters on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie, who joins the show to discuss fall hotspots in our beautiful state. And we'll go back to the future with a discussion about Back to the Future.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.